भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 11, The Symptoms of Living Entities. Oops, Hare Krishna. Oops, book is falling apart. Text 46. Dishneshu tiyeshu madrupam Sankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chatur bujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Dishneshu tiyeshu madrupam Sankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chatur bujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Dishneshu tyeshu madrupam Sankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chaturbhujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Please chant. Dishneshu tyeshu madrupam Shankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chaturbhujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Dishneshu tyeshu madrupam Shankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chaturbhujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Jishneshu tyeshu madrupam Shankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chatur bhujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Jishneshu tyeshu madrupam Shankha chakra gadambujai Yuktam chatur bhujam shantam Dhyaya narchit samahita Word for word Jishneshu In the previously mentioned places of worship Iti, thus, by the previously mentioned processes. Eshu, in them. Matrupam, my transcendental form. Shankha, with the conch shell. Chakra, Sudarshan disc. Gada, club. Ambujai, and lotus flower. Yuktam, equipped. Chaturbhujam, with four arms. Shantam, peaceful. Dhyayam, meditating. Archet, one should worship.
Samahitaha,
with complete attention. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Thus, in the previously mentioned places of worship, and according to the processes I have described, one should meditate on my peaceful transcendental form with four arms, holding a conch shell, Sudarshan disc, club, and lotus flower. In this way, one should worship me with fixed attention. Purport. The Lord has previously explained that He appears in different transcendental forms to His pure devotees, so that they may unlimitedly increase their love of Godhead. Here is given a general description of the four-armed Narayan form, which pervades the material world as Super Soul or Paramatma. The pure devotees, however, do not meditate upon the Lord within the heart, but rather render active service to a specific form of the Lord, such as Ram or Krishna, and thus perfect their realization of Bhagavan or the Supreme Lord, who engages in transcendental pastimes with His devotees in the spiritual world. Yet even within the material world, one can spiritualize one's existence by seeing the Supreme Lord within everything and worshipping Him by constant meditation. As mentioned in the previous verses, one should also go to the temple and specifically worship the deity and participate in spiritual festivals. One should not be puffed up and claim that because one is meditating on the Lord within nature, there is no need to go to the temple. Temple worship has been repeatedly emphasized by the Lord Himself. The word samahita in this verse indicates samadhi. If one very carefully worships the deity or hears and chants about the pastimes of Lord Krishna, one is certainly in samadhi. By worshipping and glorifying the Lord 24 hours a day, one becomes a liberated soul and gradually rises completely beyond the influence of the material creation. The living entity is called Atma or Eternal Soul because of his relationship with the Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By worshipping the Lord, our eternal nature revives, and as we increase our enthusiasm and steadiness in devotional service, material existence fades away.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpata Rubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Srila Vibhava Prabhuti Namane Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Namah Shri Bhavi Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Samhiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Vajarani Nivishesha Samivali Pasrata Desha Tarni
Hare Krishna. So thank you to Krishna Keshav Prabhu. You started off the class for me this morning. That was my opening sentence about today's class starting off. There are two Gitas. You know, we have the Bhagavad Gita and we have the Uddhava Gita, which is here. So even though the topics are very similar, we find a little bit of a difference in the pattern. So in Bhagavad Gita, it started off with Dhritarashtra inquiring and looking up, as the way materialists will look up, well, okay, here is this battle going on, I want this for myself, you know, this. So this is conditioning that we want for ourselves, that we want to, we want the situation, we want to get the benefit. But as Bhagavad Gita goes on, Krishna gives his teachings. The next step, he explains Aham Brahmasmi, that we are not this body, we are spirit souls, and the different system of yoga and how to see things in universal nature, and go on and on until towards the end, Sarva Dharman Parichajam Amikam Shanabhaja. Give up all varieties of religion and surrender unto me. And I would take care of you. I would remove all reactions of your sinful activities and engage in devotional service. So it's like a straight upward slope from who we are to what our activities should be, in like almost a gradual process going up. In this set of verses, in this section, the Uddhava Gita, pretty much what we're discussing, it's very similar topics are being discussed, but we find that there have been a little different way that Krishna presented his teachings and the philosophy, that if, and to understand today's verse, we have to go back a few verses to see how the mixture comes in terms of the yoga system that Krishna is talking about, engagement in devotional service. Like in the past few verses, Krishna gives full details of how one should engage in devotional service, just like when Srila Prabhupada first came. He gave full details to the devotees, how to dress, how to be clean, how to act, how to do achman, how to do every single thing. So Krishna is doing a similar thing here. Explain that one should worship him, one should come to the temple, worship the deity, engage in devotional service, engage in all his activities, spread his glories, chant his holy names, attend his festivals, and so forth in full details. And then coming back to this verse, he switched again to say, okay, you know, there are these different forms of nature, and if one can look into the material world and see how Krishna's activities are there and see how Krishna's hand is behind everything. So he went up on the top of the scale of the highest level of devotional service one should engage in, and then he drops back down again. Well, okay, these are different ways that you can see and recognize the Lord. You can see and recognize him, you can engage, you can meditate on the Lord within the heart. And pretty much like today's verse, it gives this form of the Lord. So when I read this purport, when I look at the translation, the word for word, in the word for word meaning, the translation and the purport, I saw like there's a difference of how it is structured, and I thought for a minute, wonder why it's structured like that. Like here he talks about the Lord holding these four symbols in his hands, the club, lotus, conch shell, and disc. And in the purport, the commentators address this form as the Narayan form of the Lord. So that kind of struck me as to why it specifically mentioned this Narayan form. So for one, it's the Lord in the heart, and many times is addressed as a Vishnu form. But also Lord Chaitanya in his description, in his teachings, also explains that this four-armed form of the Lord, they are manifold, and it's described that based on the location of these four items, or the order in which these four items are in the Lord's hands, starting from the right, going over to the left, like conch shell, club, lotus, disc, or lotus, disc, conch shell, club. They're all different orders. And depends on the different orders, then the Lord has a specific name and a specific feature. So, I didn't look up this in particular, in this order which is described here. But, is described that this form is a Narayan form, so apparently in the order in which these items are placed in the Lord's lotus hands, then one can directly understand what feature the Lord carries in this particular form. So this is one thing to note, how the Lord manifests, and it may appear to be very similar sometimes to see a four-handed Vishnu form. And generally we conclude this is the name. But there are many details as to the base and the location of these items, then the Lord has different names or different features or different attributes and so forth. So, with that being said, this form here is described as the Narayan form, which is pretty much a form that one meditates upon. And even though one should do that, one should meditate on that form, but it particularly comments that up and beyond that, a devotee goes a step further, that they engage in practical devotional service. And we see that in the pastimes, with the Rasalila, when Krishna disappeared and he showed his Narayan form to the gopis, and the gopis look at him, they pretty much like neglected that form. Oh, they rejected. No, we don't want to see that. We want to see the two-armed Krishna. We want to see our loving cowherd boyfriend, and we want to engage in that service. So it's a it shows a difference of understanding of they want to engage in practical devotional service. And that's what this verse is describing here today. How a devotee goes beyond just the meditation of the Lord in his different features, or in particularly here in the form of the Lord in the heart. And sometimes others will meditate on the Lord by looking at material nature, looking at the different features of this world, and see that all this comes from the direct manifestation of the Lord. These are all energies of the Lord. So one can see in that way also. One time, some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada, that how is it that you can see Krishna everywhere? And I don't remember the exact quote, but Srila Prabhupada describes something like this: by seeing everything as being the manifestation of the Lord. So you can see Krishna's hands and activities behind every aspect of material nature. But if you want just do that and meditate on that and thinking, well, okay, that's fine. In one sense it is, but we have a better facility in devotional service to engage in practical service, and this is the category that the devotees fall into, that they're not very enthused in just meditating on these forms. They want to go further and engage in practical devotional service and engage in direct relationship with the Lord. So also it's described that there are two categories of devotees too. Well, of course there are many categories, but in particular we have pure devotees, and then we have confidential devotees. So Lord Chaitanya also explains this, that pure devotees are one who, they accept a particular form of the Lord and they engage, they worship that form. And like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find that they have their devotees of Lord Nityananda, their devotees of Advaita Acharya, and so forth. There are all these different devotees. But the confidential devotees are the ones that are directly in connection with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna, and directly engage in that rasa and that relationship. So it's like, it's nothing conflicting, but it's like a level going beyond. So these are some of the aspects that are describing here in this verse and purport, that Lord Krishna is giving details way beyond what we can say that we should be, you know, we should understand these things, but he's giving in detail, just because in Kali Yuga all these tendencies are there, that okay, you know, we're gonna perform some service at home, or we're gonna do some meditation, or we can see things in this spiritual way. The scripture says, yes, we can see things in this way. So therefore there's no need to come to the temple and perform worship and service. So in particular, these items are mentioned. Krishna mentioned these in detail. If you go back to the past few verses, you'll find it's in extreme detail, almost like for a two-year-old child or a five-year-old child. Everything, what should do, you know, how one should act, what one should do, how to engage. Like, there is this long purport here in the previous yesterday's text. I'll just read it back for reference. My dear Uddhava, one should worship me within the sun by chanting selected Vedic mantras and by performing worship and offering obeisances. One may worship me within fire by offering oblations of ghee, and one may worship me among the brahmanas by respectfully receiving them as guests. Even when uninvited, I can be worshipped within the cows by offering of grass and other suitable grains and paraphernalia for the pleasure and health of the cows. And one may worship me within the Vaishnavas by offering loving friendship to them and honoring them in all respects. Through steady meditation, I am worshipped within the inner space of the heart, and within the air I can be worshipped by knowledge that prana, the life air, is the chief among elements. I am worshipped within water by offering of water itself, along with other elements such as flowers and tulsi leaves. And one may worship me within the heart, art, by proper application of confidential seed mantras. One may worship me within the individual living entity by offering food and other enjoyable substances. And one may worship me within all living entities by seeing the super soul within all of them, thus maintaining equal vision. So this, it's similar to verses in the Bhagavad Gita, what is there. If you go back a little further, yeah, I think this is the one. Yeah, it's more details are described, and this is in verse, this is string of verses 34 through 41. My dear Uddhava, one can give up false pride and prestige by engaging in the following devotional activities. One may purify oneself by seeing, touching, worshipping, serving, and offering prayers of glorification and obeisances to my forms as the deity and to my pure devotees. One should also glorify my transcendental qualities and activities, hear with love and faith the narrations of my glories, and constantly meditate on me. One should offer to me whatever one acquires, and accepting oneself as my eternal servant, one should give oneself completely to me. One should always discuss my birth and activities and enjoy life by participating in festivals such as Janamashtami, which glorify my pastimes. In my temple, one should also participate in festivals and ceremonies by singing, dancing, playing musical instruments, and discussing me with other Vaishnavas. One should observe all the regularly celebrated annual festivals by attending ceremonies, pilgrimages, and making offerings. One should also observe religious vows such as Ekadasi and taking initiation by the procedures mentioned in the Vedas, Pancharatra, and other similar literatures. One should faithfully and lovingly support the installation of my deity, and individually or in cooperation with others, one should work for the construction of Krishna conscious temples and cities, as well as flower gardens, fruit gardens, and special areas to celebrate my pastimes. One should consider oneself to be my humble servant without duplicity, and thus should help to clean the temple, which is my home. First, one should sweep and dust thoroughly, and one should rather further cleanse with water and cow dung. Having dried the temple, one should sprinkle scented water and decorate the temple with mandalas. One should thus act just like my servant. A devotee should never advertise his devotional activities. Therefore, his service will not be the cause of false pride. One should never use lamps that are offered to me for other purposes simply because there is need of illumination. And similarly, one should never offer to me anything that has been offered to or used by others. Whatever is most desirable by one within this material world, and whatever is most dear to oneself, one should offer that very thing to me. Such an offering qualifies one for eternal life. So, how much simpler can that be? You know, everything is in full detail. One can pretty much print this verse and hang it in the temple room or hang it around his neck, you know, and look at that. Okay, this is what I have to do today. You know, it's very simple. It's ABC. And it constitutes the highest form of meditation. So there's a level that Krishna is explaining and describing to us, and describes that this is the highest form of service. And when one engages in this way, one develops his relationship, one develops his advancement, one cuts his pride and false ego, and everything goes on. Actually, sometimes if, you know, whenever I'm by myself, sometimes I would tend to like write a poem mentally. I never put it down on paper, but I have this tendency of just like composing a little poem. So one day I turned it into a little song about engaging in service at the temple. You know, so how one can come clean the Lord's temple, sing his glories, worship the deity, clean his bathrooms, explain to others who may come, take prasad. Such a very simple, very, very simple process. But it constitutes the highest effect of spirituality. So in this verse, it also compares this meditation to the life of a devotee. So there's quite a mixture in this purport of goes up and down of meditation from the yogic point of view, and then the devotional service that the devotees engage in. And like that, it goes, it's quite a mixture, which gives, you know, gives an interesting blend of this purport and verse, and how one can gradually like look at all these activities that surrounds us and get some simple instructions like what is stated here by the guidance of the devotees and the spiritual master, the association, the atmosphere. By simple engagement and taking these instructions, one can make one life very peaceful and successful. Actually, like when we are out on the festival on Saturday, as I was looking around and see, and it got late into the night, you know, this festival was late, and whilst it was kind of a little cool, we can see how the mode of passion and mode of ignorance rises as the evening gets older, with so much, you know, club visitors around there, and this mood just changes, and the mode of ignorance starts escalating. And seeing the activities of these people around, and looking at our activities, you can see a gulf of a difference with the peace and tranquility that our festival is bringing about, and the madness on the other side. Of course, for some people, they may take it differently. Okay, you know, they're enjoying their nice club and drinks, and these Hare Krishna people with their madness there. So, you know, depends on the modes that we are in, or how we see things, you know, that's how we are going to react. I remember in Daytona Beach, I think, it was this year, I wasn't there, the last year, the police commissioner, he was there giving the inauguration, and he mentioned, he said that he welcomed us not only because of, you know, it's his duty to welcome, but because we are the most peaceful event that takes place all year long in Daytona Beach. Everyone knows that's a place of, you know, the races and drunks and on, it's everything is just on the other side of the scale. And when we do our festival, we are the only thing that kind of helps to offset that balance in that city. And he repeated that about 3 or 4 times in his 5 or 7 minutes talk. So it gives the impression that he really meant what he's saying. So in engaging in these activities, this is what comes about. These are like effects, or sometimes we can say side effects too, but ultimately it brings about a standard within our own lives that creates the essence of our real existence. So this verse, I take it to be very, very instructive, especially to our own devotees, that sometimes we can be carried away. That though, you know, we are engaging in sasaras, we perform some activities, we engage in this thought of meditation, okay, you know, we are seeing nature, we are seeing activities out there, and then neglect to come to worship the deity, or neglect to come and associate with the devotees. By the way, it's not any criticism for anyone, but it's an observation for myself, especially for the past couple of weeks. I've been quite stressed with other schedules, and I've not been like the morning class or to the temple as often as I always like to be. And I actually feel that difference. I can see it in my own life how there's like that drift, and that some level of sanity kind of disappears, you know, within the last 2 weeks. So for me, it's like very important. So when I read this verse, I thought, this is like, you know, whoever made arrangement for classes is like a direct instruction to me that, hey, read this verse and correct yourself. You know, so anyway, these are some thoughts I have. I would like to stop there if anyone has any questions or comments or corrections. Madam Mati Mataji? I don't know if I remember it now. Yeah. Something like have you ever seen such a wonderful life? Chanting Hare Krishna and make it sublime. All we have to do... No, that's wrong. Anyway, I don't remember how it structured, but basically, you know, chanting Hare Krishna make your life sublime. And all we have to do is worship the deity. All we have to do, take some prasadam. All we have to do, share with others. All we have to do, clean our temple room. And life can be blissful. Actually, maybe I should write it down. Thinking about that, because it's actually I thought about this when they had last year of the Holi festival, and I saw like all these people coming, and then I thought, you know, how can we prepare something that can further engage them? And as a matter of fact, one thought came from when I saw you, when I first came at the Holi festival, you were there talking to a male and a female, and you were bringing them in the temple. I don't know if you remember that. And then this thought came, look, you know, here is one way that they come for the festival, and this one devotee bringing them to engage them, show them, explaining Krishna consciousness. And I thought, how can we, you know, further do this? And look at so many people came there, you know, they're engaging in some service. How can we bring it one step further? And then this thought came of, okay, here's, you know, and this thought came of like this poem and different things that we can do. And it's very, very simple. So Srila Prabhupada said these temples are the windows to the spiritual world. You know, so when we come and we engage here, bringing one as much as we can do to engage them, it's like a chance for our own self to be purified and a chance for others to get some mercy. So, anyway, thank you very much. Is there anything else? Okay, so seeing that there is nothing else, we can stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.